What is
biblical counseling?
Biblical counseling will grow you from brokenness to wholeness.
I think I just got an epiphany.
That's something I guess I'd never really stopped to consider.
This is like deep. I never thought about it.
It's mind-blowing to me.
I don't know if I've ever had anybody put it that plainly.
I haven't really looked at it that way before.
Yeah, that just sounds cool.
That just now came to me.
This is Transformed. And now your host, Assistant Professor of Biblical Counseling at the Master's University and Certified Biblical Counselor, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Welcome back to Transform. Today we're talking about how to deal with manipulative people and to not become one yourself. Bum, bum, bum. What a topic. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Dr. Greg Gifford, and I have the privilege of being your host. And many of you have written in asking, and I would say, I don't want to over-exaggerate, about three or four people have written in asking about narcissism, gaslighting, manipulation. And so what I'm trying to do is kind of package all of those in these next two episodes. But this is something that is unfortunate that we do have to consider biblically. How do we address people that are manipulative? By that, I just simply mean underhanded. They are not straightforward. They're roundabout. They're coercive. They guilt you. So the questions that you guys asked were, number one, about a narcissist, and then number two, about someone who is a gaslighter. So let me try to explain those terms first of all. When we talk about narcissism, I'm going to try to actually pronounce that correctly today. We'll see if it works. Narcissism, the narcissistic person is myopic, self-absorbed. That can be looks, obviously, where you're so infatuated by yourself that you're consumed with thoughts of your own looks. But it can also be immaterial things. Consider your comfort, consider your power, your prestige, your reputation. None of those are actually material things. Your reputation isn't a material thing, but you're just self-absorbed, self-focused type of person. If you haven't heard the term gaslighter or to gaslight someone, welcome to the club. I was new to this term until someone used it in counseling a few years ago. And there's a movie. Oh, I forget. It was a black and white movie whenever I looked it up. A movie about a man who made his wife feel like she was going crazy. And he would plant thoughts in her mind, you know, thoughts like, are you feeling well? Could this just be the disease that you have right now that's making you think this way? Ooh. So gaslighting is a way of saying that we make you feel like you're crazy. And in all seriousness, I've never heard of it from a wife to a husband, and that could just be my own experience, but I have heard of it of husbands to wives, where a husband will chalk it up to a quote-unquote mental illness and say, hey, this is connected to your mental illness or your depression. That's why you're doing this. I met the wife of another husband who would just simply tell his wife that she's not good at these things, and that's why he does them. Whoa. One of those was driving. You're not good at driving. That's why I'm going to be the one to drive us all the time. Whoa, where's edifying communication? Where's speaking to build up? Where's helping empower your wife? So that's gaslighting. And my students will, they'll kind of joke with me, and I'll joke with them whenever they say something. I'll say, are you gaslighting me right now? But in all reality, people do this. And when it's done without, you know, joking or something like that, it's actually quite damaging. It's awful. So think of narcissist, gaslighter. This person I'm going to call the counter-attacker. This is the person that never admits fault. And I have had the unfortunate privilege of being in ministry with folks like this, that they just won't admit that they're wrong. They won't admit that they made a mistake. And in personal relationships, the counterattacker types, what they do is you confront them and you bring up an issue. And by the end of the conversation, they've confronted you on three things and you're the one to apologize and they never apologize. And you're like, wait a minute, what just happened here? I went to you to confront you about an issue and then you counter-confronted and I apologized and you never did. That counterattacker slash blame shifter type, it's almost impossible for them to acknowledge that they've done something wrong, could do something better. They need to repent of a sin in their life. So be on guard against the counter-attacker type. This is the manipulative type. This is what we're talking about. I'm okay with the term emotional manipulation. I am hesitant to start to use the term emotional abuse. It doesn't mean I don't believe in it. It's just such a gray category that I'm very hesitant and cautious to start to use the abusive type of terminology. So when I say emotional manipulator, that probably sounds pretty straightforward. This is the person that gets pouty and they withdraw. So they get mad at you for 3 days and it's not really your fault, but you go back to them and apologize. I'm so sorry. I don't want us to be strained. That's the pouty person. Think of the people that use their anger to manipulate us. They get loud. And because they get loud, you back off and leave them alone. Okay, that's emotional manipulation. And children, God bless our beloved children. We love you. You're a gift from the Lord. Arrows in our quivers. But children can learn to do this naturally as well. I have 3 boys, so thankfully it doesn't seem to be as bad as it can be with daughters. Feel free to correct me if you disagree. But when we think of our children, they get pouty. They get angry. And at times can learn to use their emotions to manipulate their parents if a parent is not discerning. And I also will include those that just start to withdraw angry, mad children, any type of emotion that's used for underhanded and manipulative purposes. Yes, we are talking about a manipulative person. Booyah. Let me just share a brief counseling experience I had. A husband had forgotten his wife's birthday, was using pornography. When we sat in my office, they both sat across from me, so it was just me and them two. And she was bringing these issues up and saying, I'm kind of sick of this relationship. I'm sick of you forgetting me, misprioritizing me, you being engaged in sexual immorality and so forth. And the husband's response was, you don't have biblical grounds for divorce. What a romantic. Oh, you're right, honey. Thank you for noting that. I love you so much. What do you think her response was? See, you're doing it again. You're minimizing me. You're ignoring me. You're manipulating me. You're counterattacking me. See? And I told him, I said, hey, bro, buddy, my dude, if you're going to treat your wife like this, I don't disagree with you, but I think she'll get to the point where she doesn't care anymore if she has biblical grounds or not. When a person is counterattacking, when a person is even using the scripture to manipulate you, when they're self-absorbed, gaslighter, how do we deal with that? Where does that come from? Many of us would just say, well, it comes from pride. And you're not wrong to say that. But when we say pride, sometimes that's just so generic. If I were to ask it in another way, what doesn't come from pride? In all fairness, what does not come from pride? So Dr. Gifford, what do you mean by this? Well, I think there are specific manifestations of pride that we are talking about. First of all, we just want to be candid that if you're an unbeliever, you have a darkened understanding, according to Ephesians 4:17. So if you have a Bible with you, feel free to grab it. I'm going to read from Ephesians 4. It says, I say this and testify in the Lord that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They're darkened in their understanding. Alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. That is not a nice, cute, cuddly portrait of us apart from Jesus saving us. So if you're in relationship with a person who is an unbeliever, verse 17, 18, and 19 are true of them. And this is not licensing manipulation, but why do they do that? Because they're unregenerate. And they have a darkened understanding, a futile mind. Their inner person is prideful in those ways. James chapter 1 uses another example, and this is about the use of your tongue and your speech. I find this one to be very challenging because what he says is in the context of your speech, if anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, verse 26, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. It's busted. Who you calling busted, Buster? You guys get my Toy Story reference here? James 1:26 uses the idea of self-deception. Deceives his heart. If you say that you're all in for Jesus Christ and your tongue is a mess, you might want to 2 Corinthians 13:5 yourself, which is examine if you really are in the faith, James is saying. But what's that category of sin? Self-deception. You're self-deceived. You're listening to yourself. You're exalting your own reasoning. The Bible is not your authority. You are your authority. You are thus self-deceived. Hebrews 2:12 and 13 actually speaks about being hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. So where is some of this manipulation coming from? That there are those that have literally been hardened by the effects of sin in their life. And I do see this happening in believers as well, where they are dull, their conscience is dull, not seared. That's true of a false teacher or unbeliever, but you are dulling the effects of your conscience. You're not as sensitive to it. So how do we protect against that? This will come up in our next segment and in our next episode. How do we protect against that? You encourage one another as long as it is called today. So where is it coming from? Self-deception, darkened understanding, hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. So we got to take a short break. When we come back to our next segment, I'll finish with one more source. And then how do we protect ourselves from becoming this type of person? We'll be right back.
And we will be back with more from Dr. Gifford in just a moment. But first, let me take a minute to talk to you about a couple of things that are really important to us here at Gospel Partners Media. First, I want to highlight a valuable resource that is available on our website at transformed.org that will tie directly into this topic of emotional manipulation. The book, When People Are Big and God Is Small by Ed Welch, is an excellent resource. In the book, Welch uncovers the spiritual dimension of people pleasing and points the way through a true knowledge of God, ourselves, and others. This book will help you understand how to overcome the fear of man and how to find freedom in Christ. I highly recommend Ed Welch's When People Are Big and God Is Small, available now at transformed.org. The next thing I want to ask is if you would prayerfully consider joining us as a gospel partner, because it's your support that helps us continue producing valuable resources like Transform, as well as our other programs, Wretched Radio and TV, Road Trip to Truth, Wretched Worldview, Breaking Bread, and all of the others. So your support is definitely desired. But I do want to ask that if you're not already giving to your local church, or if you're in debt of any kind, don't support our ministry. And you probably have never heard a ministry asking you not to help support it. We take very seriously the stewardship of the resources God provides us, and we really want you to do the same. And so if you're not already giving to your local church or you're in some kind of debt, get those situations taken care of first. And then when you can join us as a gospel partner, would you prayerfully consider it? You can find out any answer to any question you might have at transformed.org. And lastly, for those of you interested in becoming a biblical counselor, we have fantastic resources on our website as well. One of which, The Peacemaker by Ken Sandy. This is a comprehensive and practical book that presents a biblical theology for conflict resolution. And it's designed to bring not only a ceasefire, but unity and harmony. And you can pick it up from the Transformed store right now at transformed.org. And now let's get back to the second half of this episode of Transformed with Dr. Greg Gifford as he continues to dive into emotional manipulation. This is Transformed. Welcome back to Transform.
God is a good physician. He never prescribes the wrong medicine. He only gives us what we need to become spiritually healthy.
And now your host, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Welcome back. Thank you, Jimmy, for your kindness and your resources. Guys, check out transform.org and see what we have collated, curated. I can't think of another C word, but go there and see good, solid biblical resources. So where we left off, as I was saying, where does manipulative behavior, manipulation come from? Where does that come from? Pride, yes, but self-deception, darkened understanding, hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. And I'm going to add one more here, which is a person that worships control and power. At the level of your heart, in biblical counseling, we talk about your heart a lot. At the level of your heart, you are wanting to be in control more than you're wanting to please the Lord. Or you're wanting to be the boss more than you're wanting to please the Lord. And when that happens, you become a manipulative person. So when that, this is, just to be candid with you, when that happens, it's quite concerning to me, and it should be concerning to you. Who concerns me the most? Those that have too much power, especially if they're young, if they're my age, and they're the boss of everything they're a part of. I just called myself young, by the way. You guys must affirm me. I'm concerned about guys my age being the boss, senior pastor with no other elders, no plurality of elders. Time bomb, man. That's a time bomb. You're a small business owner. You're a contractor. You have no peer-to-peer friendships. You're loosely connected to your local church. Time bomb. Bomb. Scary. I do think that if you only enjoy being around people that are yes men and yes women, like this is part of it. This is concerning to me. So when I see that person that they are the boss, they have no accountability, they're not significantly connected to a local church, they're surrounded by yes men and yes women, that is a recipe for disaster, just to be candid. So when you enter into a church, one of the things that I'm looking for is church leadership. And if I look at church leadership and there's no plurality of elders, if I'm going to work for an organization and the CEO is the husband, the brother is the COO, it's like, oh man, like this starts to be a challenge for me just because if this is all family and I'm the only non-family member, it does get tricky at times. So you're looking for a diversification of power. You're looking for organizations that are willing to share it. So how do we handle manipulative people? This episode, I would like to finish our segment now by saying, how do you not become one yourself? Let's put up some guardrails at the top of the hill. And then in our next episode, I will address when you are surrounded by a person who is coercive, gaslighting, whatever that is. You know, if I'm being candid with you, I am ever so concerned about my own capability to do this. You're like, wait a minute, what just happened? Where is he going? No. In all seriousness, whenever the Lord blesses an effort of mine and it continues to grow fruit, one of the things that concerns me is that Greg Gifford would get too big for his spiritual britches. You guys know what britches are? It's pants. So my dad used to say, don't get too big for your britches. I love you, Dad. When we are seeing God bless us, move us into places of success and fruitfulness, can I just give you some thoughts about how to protect yourself? And this is primarily to those of you that are younger. I know there's a lot of younger folks listening in the audience. So think 30 and down, 40 and down. The Lord's moving you guys to managerial positions, ministry positions. How should we think about protecting ourselves from becoming the manipulator? Number one, divest yourself of too much power. I would like you to see too much power as being a liability to you. Are you going to keep plutonium in your house? Well, technically I can have it. It's safe. That's what it's like to have too much power. It will corrupt you. And so what are you looking to do? You're looking to join teams, create teams. My Southern Baptist friends, you will love this. You'll get a dopamine hit from this. Committees, you're welcome. Just gave you guys some of that. I'm part of an EV free church where we have a plurality of elders, and I am just one of those elders. And that's good to be among peers there, that you're looking to appoint boards. If you're just trying to be the boss and to move toward that, be careful you're not becoming like a Gentile leader, Matthew 20, who wants to lord it over them. So divest yourself of too much power. It will make things slower bureaucratically for sure, but it will also protect you from becoming that coercive gaslighting manipulator. Number two, Surround yourself with reputable peers. Proverbs 18:1 says that whoever isolates himself seeks his own desire. So what do we know? If you're surrounding yourself with credible, reputable peers, men and women that are not yes men, then you are going to be the better off and your organization is going to be the better off for it. Seek that team. Seek that team, not just a team of yes men and yes women. And compliance is important to a certain degree, but we want a team of experts and a team that's going to make us sharper. So surround yourself with reputable peers. Don't isolate yourself. If you want to prevent from becoming the manipulative person, surround yourself, number two, with reputable peers. Number three, and I must open to this one. It stings. My fingers are stinging as I try to turn to this page. You guys, like, pray for my fingers here. This was taught to me by Dr. Carson. If I could turn back time. No, I'm just kidding. It's true. Proverbs 9, verse 9. Excuse me, verse 8. Do not reprove a scoffer or he will hate you. Reprove a wise man and he will love you. Anybody like rebuke up in this place? Me neither. You receive rebuke, Proverbs 9, verse 8, from worthy people. From worthy people. Look, I'm on the webosphere and the intranets as well, and you better believe my email gets an occasional crack and someone comes in and has some critiques for me, for sure. But when it comes to people that are trusted and known in my life, I need to not only receive it, but welcome it, and so do you. How do you prevent yourself from becoming the manipulative person? You brace yourself with Proverbs 9:8 that you need to be rebuked. You need it. Not just that it should happen and it's nice if it does, but when someone comes to you and says, hey, can I talk to you about something? Instead of the claws coming out and you getting super defensive, and this is true for me, instead of my claws coming out and me getting super defensive, I need to say, if you rebuke a wise man, he will love you for it. Rebuke me so I can get better and not do that anymore and address a blind spot and figure my life out. Receive rebuke from worthy people. So number one, divest yourself of too much power. It's a liability to you, especially you young folks. Do not try to become the boss exclusively. You need teams, committees, boards, pluralities. Number two, surround yourself with reputable peers. Individuals of integrity, not yes men and women. Number three, receive and welcome rebuke, Proverbs 9, that demonstrates that you are wise. Number four, confess and admit you are wrong and confess it to your employees. Confess it when you've sinned against your spouse or your children. Confess it to your bosses when you've sinned against them. Confess that you are wrong. Articulate it. You sinned. Use the term sin. Some of us, I'm sorry if I made a mistake and it was potentially unhelpful. No, I was wrong. I messed up and I own that. James 5 talks about confessing your sins one to another. You do that. You confess your sins. And when someone confronts you, you admit that you were wrong. If you can't do that, you're on your way to being a manipulative person. Brace yourself. You're going to destroy everything that matters. But by developing this habit of confessing and owning, the reality is that it's much worse than they have articulated. It's much worse than what they've said. They only saw the tip of the iceberg. They didn't see your heart and your motivations. When you are wrong, confess it. Seek forgiveness in this way. So what I find is that people that are manipulative, like they just can't bring themselves to admit it. I just can't. No, I can't. Like, it's you who did this. You confronted me at the wrong time. It's you who provoked me. That's why I responded like that. So if you want to put some safeguards on not becoming that manipulative person, then divest yourself of too much power. Surround yourself by reputable peers. Receive rebuke and welcome it from worthy people. And confess that you are wrong, diddly wrong. Now, zoom out with me. Our goal in all of this, in confronting manipulative people and trying not to become one ourselves, is that we're going to honor the Lord. So justice is the Lord's, Exodus 15. He's the avenger. Paul reminds us of that in Romans 12. So in the end, we're making sure that we are honoring the Lord in the way that we approach manipulative people, not letting our own inner Denzel Washington, the equalizer, you know, not letting him come out. And we feel like we have to become the avenger. Remember the character of God. He is just and he is the avenger and he will settle accounts. So we're going to be godly as we address manipulative people, and let's put on safeguards so we don't become one ourselves. So let me pray and we got to be done for today. Lord, thank you for the refining tool of dealing with manipulative people in our life. And it hurts and it annoys us and it stings, but yet your grace is with us to help us be godly and more like your son Jesus in our responses. So help us to do that well so that you would be pleased and that these individuals would be restored back to places of fruitfulness, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
This has been Transformed with Dr. Greg Gifford, a production of Gospel Partners Media. Our website, of course, is transformed.org, and it is your central hub for finding in-depth information on all things Transformed. If you've enjoyed Transformed with Dr. Greg Gifford, consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family. Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly Gospel Partner? And until next time, go serve your King.